I'm here to tell you about Naptime Radio. It's a show for moms and dads, and these chicks are super cool.
Mac Daddy and Damia.
And they want you to listen.
Yes, we want it. We want it so bad.
I know you do. Heather and Kate offer helpful info for parents with their power naps. Oh, and did I mention? These chicks are sexy as hell, y'all.
Let's ride that train.
All I need is a ticket.
Let's eliminate one article of clothing for one meal. How about that?
Oh, now it's a party. So go to naptimeradio.com or click on the logo available on our site.
Nailed it!
Chase the sun and get crazy, have some fun. And if you're on the run, we're chasing the sun.
Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast, episode 26. I'm already stumbling, as you saw in the description. I'm here with what I think is fair to say our first listener guest, Eric Herrera. Did I pronounce that right?
Yeah, you said it white. That's completely awesome.
Am I supposed to say Herrera? Is that the...
No, actually, I actually hate the Spanish enunciation of it because I'm a Wiener Schnitzel.
You're a German Mexican.
Yes, I am.
How does that happen? I feel like there's some type of war situation or a weird J-date.
My dad happened to like the white ladies,
yeah.
So that's how it worked out for me.
Oh, so your father is Mexican and your mom is a German chick. And how many kids do you have, sir?
I have three, and we have three because we do not want four.
Yes. Did you do the two girls and then tried for a boy, or how did that happen?
No, they were all just... happy accidents, I guess you could say. They weren't planned out. My oldest is 3 years old. We had the girl in the middle. Then my youngest, he is 7 months. No, I'm sorry. I'm going to die for that one. He's 8 months old.
Nobody cares. Why does everybody get so hung up about the months? I don't understand that. That makes no sense to me at all.
Well, since he's not quite a year, you really can't say a year yet. Uh-huh. You know, after a year old, I'd just say he's 1 year old or they're two or whatnot.
Yeah, exactly. That to me is the way to do it. So go over that again for me because I already got confused. There's an 8 month old boy, right?
Yes.
And then
my daughter, she's going to be two.
Two.
Then my oldest, he turns four in May.
So you have two boys and one girl.
Yes.
With the girl was the youngest?
No, she's the middle child.
Middle.
Yes.
Now I'm with you. So girl that's two, boy that's four, boy that's 8 months old.
Yes.
Nailed it. I finally figured it out. Thank you, Eric.
Yes, you can be taught.
I can. I will. I will pick things up. Well, I don't know if you had anything that you wanted to talk about. I've done a couple episodes now where I've gotten like single dads and stepdads, and so this is kind of like the first foyer into doing, like, I guess, quote unquote, a regular show without an agenda. So I figured I would go into my usual things that I like to bitch and moan about, and then you could chime in. Does that sound like fun to you, Eric?
That's fun. Sounds fine. I have no problem leaning back. No.
How dare you son of a bitch. Bill Glass is not here for a reason, asshole. I wish it was that cool.
I was listening to the Bill Glass episode last night while I was at work, and I'm like, yeah, that sounds like something I could do to Justin. Just to make it feel like it's back to the way it used to be.
Yeah, just poke the bear. That's all you gotta do.
Oh, of course. I'm all about that.
Yeah, just poke the bear. That's funny. So one of the things that happened to me recently was that my wife was talking about something or whatever, and she said, oh, I got hot in the middle of the night, so she turned on our ceiling fan. And I said, well, why don't you not come to bed with all these clothes on? Why don't you just come to bed in your underwear so I can know what it's like to be married to a woman and feel feminine skin up against my body in some way, shape, or form? Now, I've been married for over 10 years, so it's not like it's a weird thing that happens. I don't know. How old were you when you met your wife, Eric?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to sound like a dirty child molester, but we met at church. I was 21 and she was 16.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's okay because you met at church.
Her parents were cool with it because we met at church and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I was that good boy, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I'm not here to judge you. I think that's awesome. You got a trophy wife right out of the box. You didn't wait You didn't wait for the second go round. You're like, you know what? I'm going right in for the kill.
That's how I do it. You know, I mean, I shoot for the stars. You know.
Well, so my point is that when I was young, my wife and I met when we were both 17. I think I just turned 18 when we started dating or whatever. But when we used to cuddle, like, it was like we were snakes making love. Like, we would become so intertwined with each other that I feel like romance novels could serve as consultants for the way we would touch each other. And now we've been together for over 10 years, and it's like we have the king-size bed, and you live in two different regions of sleep, and it's always on the other side. But I still like the feel of my wife. I still think that she's hot and sexy, and I'd like to slice a little off. And this is what she told me, Eric, and it pissed me off. She said, I said, well, why don't you just wear less clothes? Because, you know, daddy goes in his birthday suit. That's how I roll. And she was like, she goes, well, if I wear less clothes, you'll just want to have sex with me. And I didn't know how to react to that, because I was like, I never thought my wife would do that bullshit to me, where it's like, I thought my wife had a pretty decent sex drive and was kind of into me, and now I find out that she's playing these goddamn games of figuring out ways to not turn me on, to not arouse me. And I don't, like, what the hell is up? Has that happened to you, or am I alone in this?
Well, I get the occasional eye roll, you know, and I go, hey, you know, you in the mood? She just rolls her eyes at me, and she goes, it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon, the kids are awake. I'm like, thanks, you know? She's like, I set up the shot, she's like, pull, boom! That's it, and I'm just like, okay. I understand that feeling, but I want to go back to something. You have a king-size bed.
Yes.
What's that like, to have your own space to flop out on, you know what I mean? Because I have the 8-month-old, we co-sleep with the baby, you know?
Oh.
And so it goes my wife, she takes up half the bed, then the son takes up 3/4 of the bed,
yeah.
And I'm stuck, our bed's against the wall, and my face is plastered right against the wall when I'm asleep.
So yeah, I have
to have your own country, per se, for a bed.
It doesn't work out. Now it does. I have in my for anybody who's gotten my first two albums, there's I'm a Good Husband, and then the second one is Paternally Challenged. I have two jokes about sleeping with my wife, because there was a first generation, and then I added more content to it to the second album, and I talk about that, about how any man usually gets about 6 inches of his bed, and yes. I don't know how it works out. But when I jumped up to the king-size bed, there was a brief moment of adjustment where I still only got 6 inches, and then I had to say, listen, we have a king-size bed. You have 8 feet over there. Go and just give me a foot, you know, and that's all I need is to be able to lay on my back. And now we don't even touch each other. Now the new thing is that we each have a pillow that we cuddle with. Like, we don't – it's like – it's kind of sad. Like, I look over at my wife, and she's, like, hugging this pillow, and I'm jealous of it. Like, I'm like, what the hell does he have that I don't, you know?
Yeah. Hey, God forbid you bring up the cuddling with the pillow.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, I can't bring that up.
That can – turn into bloodshed and tears, you know, on the man's behalf, you know.
What size bed do you use?
We have a queen size.
Queen size, yeah. You got to go king. You got to go king, and then
you'll want a California king.
Oh well, then you'll never see her again. That's what I think. California. The reason they call it California king is because there are more divorces in California than any other state. I think that's the only reason. Like, and so it's the closest thing to a compromising divorce and during the night hours where you don't even know the other person's there. Ray Romano has this great joke about when he upgraded to a king that he's like, you don't even know that there's a person. The only reason you know your wife is in bed is that you smell moisturizer from her region. Like, the smell of lotion comes through. She's like, oh, she must be over there. Because you have to roll over 2 or 3 times, you know, to get there. But I don't know. It just really, I guess it was an eye-opener, and I know that the moms that listen to the show are like, no shit, Sherlock, but I never would have thought that my relationship would come to a point where my wife was actually making conscious decisions to manage my arousal state. And I didn't like the idea of being manipulated in that way. I didn't like it. I wanted it. I always thought that lovemaking, even though, like you just said, that when you've been married for a while, and it's funny to me that it's still kind of awkward to initiate that, because, like, you have to do it kind of like a joke. You have to kind of say, hey, you in the mood? You know what I mean? And because you feel a level of comfort where you feel like you could just instigate it, you could just make it happen. But at the same time, I don't know, maybe I'm kind of a chick, and I know that's known on the show, but I feel like, you know, I want to be a little romantic. I want to sweeten her up. I want to, you know, I want to get her warmed up, prime the pump, if you will.
Yeah, it's the want to be wanted is what I think.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to be wanted too.
Yes, I know. I just need a minute, you know. You don't touch me anymore, you know?
I know that I am not the only man in the world that has had a moment of just saying, you know, I'm not just a piece of meat. You can't just turn it on whenever you want. Because I think that when men deal with this is when you're trying to have, I don't know with your Mexican heritage, if you ever had to try to have a child or if it just naturally happens in an instant. But I think that's the only time that men get whiny and complaining about the romance of it. Like when the chick's like, my temperature just spiked 1 degree. We got to go hop in the sack. Put it in me. Let's do it. Let's make it happen right now. Right now.
When we were first married, when we decided to finally start trying, she got the thermometer and stuff like that. And she started doing the whole thing, schedule and stuff. And what I found is when we were actually trying to have kids, it wouldn't work. But it was nice where you're just like, should I strap on a raincoat or not? And you're just like, meh, whatever.
Yeah.
Those are the nights that it happens, you know? Without being too explicit, you know, it's just, I like to think that the writers of Twilight, my wife is going to kill me for saying this, but my daughter is here because of the Twilight books.
What? I am so excited to hear this story.
I'm not going to get too deep into it. All I can say is I was reading Twilight and I got attacked. You know?
Oh, really? You were reading Twilight?
Oh, yeah. So I'm an avid reader. I'll read anything. I'm a Harry Potter nerd. I chew through books like they're candy.
That's awesome. But I like what I thought was interesting is that at first I thought, you know, like she was reading Twilight and that was like the predecessor to 50 Shades of Grey is what I assumed the story was going to be. But now it sounds like you were reading Twilight and she's like, oh, he's reading Twilight. This is on.
Yeah, that's my story and I stick to it, you know. Of course her version of the story, she always rolls her eyes when I tell that story, you know.
Why so I don't understand why it was that she was so into you into Twilight. Or is that the part you can't share or
No. It's my joke about it. I was reading Twilight at the time and my daughter happened to be conceived around that time when I was reading the book. So that's the...
Oh, so there wasn't any aspect of you reading Twilight that got your wife in the mood. It wasn't like she saw you glistening in the sunlight like a diamond person.
I don't... See, when it comes to Twilight, I don't call those vampires, you know?
Yeah.
Those aren't vampires. They're shiny, sparkle gay demons.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah. No, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly.
My idea of a vampire is Kate Beckinsale in... Tight, extremely tight.
Oh my gosh, yes. Underworld is a solid vampire movie for a dude.
Yes, it's traditional to the lore and everything. So I'm not trying to turn this into like some nerdy vampire podcast for you, you know?
You won't have to try very hard. Don't worry. I will jump right in that boat with you.
Well, I'm glad we are at a kismet on that one,
yeah.
I guess.
So is your daughter's name Bella then because of that or no?
No, her name is Ella.
Oh, close.
Close, but we didn't do it that way. We wanted to name her Emma, but uh-huh. It seemed like everybody in the world was naming their child Emma.
Uh-huh.
So we did. It was like the new Crystal of the 80s. You know what I mean?
Crystal Gale?
How many girls did you know in high school were named Crystal or Cam or Cassandra? You know what I mean?
More than I realized until this conversation. Yeah, you're right. There's a lot of them that I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Cassandra especially. I know quite a few Cassandras. Although I think they went by Cassandra, which is, I don't know, it seems like a different spelling, but it's not.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just a longer A in it.
The other thing that I had on my bitch list is that I recently took a trip to the land of Disney with my kids and stuff, and
I was
hanging out, and I realized this because I had for the first time I had to tell my son to quit playing with the lines, and you know, like the little ropes and stuff that they put, and they don't put anything that is like in a world where they have to put like little styrofoam things on where you could bump your head and every construction worker has to wear a hard hat and all of that stuff. In that kind of a world, they have the most dangerous things in the world that make the queues for rides and the bank and all of that. Like the closest thing to safety are those velvet ropes that you get at the bank.
Yeah.
But they're attached to the most flimsy structure in the world. Like, I feel like some Haitian contractor built them, and they're not reinforced anyway. You get a kid who just leans on it, and then the whole thing topples over. Next thing you know, you can't go to that bank anymore. Or even worse is the chains, where there's lots of, many a child must be, you only have two knuckles on their finger because they've lost it, and it's been severed in some kind of chain at a bank or a Disneyland. Even the plastic chains have to pinch and cause some kind of, like, abrasion or something, a lesion, an open wound. Or the worst that I saw was the nylon strap. Because the nylon strap looks cool, looks professional, and it has a little slide-in hook, but all it takes is them futzing with it, and then it becomes a weapon of blindness. Like, it just sticks up, and then I wasn't really worried that my kid, but then it's like my kid's, you know, he's fucking around, and he hits a thing, and then he blinds somebody else's four-year-old and ruins their Disneyland adventure because they don't live 20 minutes from Disneyland, and they're here from the Midwest, and I just fucked up their whole summer because I kept telling them, just quit messing with that stuff, and why don't they just have something? I don't know. I'm trying to think now of what would be good. Like, why can't we just have lasers or just a pole? Why can't it just be a pole? Do you think grown-ass people are going to try and cut in front of each other that much? I don't think so.
Oh, I think people like to cut line all the time.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's funny. I was watching a show a while ago where they did a social experiment where they had people waiting in line. Even though they had guaranteed people were going to get into the same place and there's plenty of room for people, but people cut in line all the time. It was ridiculous to see it. And then the study was also to see how many people would react to the divergent from the social norm. It was people were getting violent. It was actually kind of funny.
Well, see, that's what I mean, is that I feel like in that situation, people would. They would just say, hey, no, you're not cutting, jerk. Get out of here. And then a security guy would be called. Am I wrong?
I think that would be, but I think they put the ropes and stuff like that to prevent the escalation of the possible violence at the quote-unquote happiest place on Earth.
Yeah, and maybe I'm overreacting because I guess that, you know, some kind of 60 Minutes or, you know, Dateline special would be on the amount of children. Like, it would be like cheerleader injuries. Like, you would see about these children with eye injuries and, you know, pirates of the pirate population of the world has increased due to these nylon straps. There would be, because that's an easy news story. That's an easy fluff piece. No, but anybody can work through that.
Yeah.
Man, I'm sorry, my mind just flashed back to the idea of my wife telling me, well, if I wear less clothes, you want to have... Oh, that pisses me off.
I have to thank you for turning me on to another podcast. This is probably shameless plug. When you had Gina Paris on, her podcast, The Sexy Marriage Radio.
Yeah.
That did so much for me after my son was born.
Really?
Yes, it did.
I didn't mean to say really like I'm surprised. What it is that I'm happy. Like, I'm like, oh, that's great. She's a great chick. I love what she does.
I actually got a funny story about after my son was born, if you don't mind me telling.
Of course. That's what this is for.
Okay. I'm a machinist, and I work nights. All I am is pretty much a glorified button pusher. I press a button, wait for the part to finish, and then I check it. But this guy I had, he's a friend of mine. He's a single guy and stuff like that. He's very worldly, so to speak, you know? And it was in the middle of the summer. I mean, our shop got balls hot. I mean, you would... You would make a Mexican swamp cooler just to stay cool. You'd go dip your shirt in the sink at work, come out and stand in front of a fan. You know what
That's
I mean?
The Mexican swamp cooler, yeah.
Yes, it is. So this guy, he takes his shirt off and he's wearing nothing but a wife beater and he's got these bruises all over him. And I go, dude, what happened? You go play football? He goes, no, I got laid this weekend.
What?
And I took the look. I was hating on him so bad because it was during that 6-week period where you don't get any action from him or any nod of any inclination of, hey, you know?
Yeah.
And I was staring at him so and hating on him so much that he put his shirt back on. And they were like these little tiny hickeys or bruises. I mean, it looked like she took a bat to the head, the guy, dude.
They had some Twilight love?
Something like that. I looked at him like, I hate you so much. Dick, sir, for taking that shirt off and bragging about your sex life. I hate you so much.
So, but what did Gina specifically do to help you? Can I ask that?
No, it's totally cool. It just helped me,
Hold on, we got calls coming in. Yeah, that's right. We're talking to Eric Herrera. He's here live with us on the Dad Podcast. So give us a call, 408-228-4911.
I've been tempted to use that sometimes, but I get home at ungodly hours, so.
Well, it's just an internet-based phone number, so it doesn't ring to anything. So it's not like I'm going to wake up and go, hello, what?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me write this down, Eric. As people who have left voicemails, you usually can expect a quarterly turnaround when you leave a voicemail. Check about 3 to 4 months before I actually remember to check it and listen. And I think a lot of it is because it's just not that popular. Like, not a lot of people do it. But
you would have thought it would have taken off.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway, you were saying how Gina helped you.
Just listening to her podcast, it helped me realize that, you know, if I want to change in my sex life and in my marriage, I can't expect my wife to change. I have to be the change.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think, and it's funny that those kinds of things are applicable. Like, it makes sense that kind of her occupation is a life coach-esque, you know?
Uh-huh.
But it is kind of like, if you could decide to either sit here and wallow in the way things aren't working, or you could try and do something about it. Is that the same kind of vibe?
Yeah, oh yeah, totally. I mean,
can I ask what you did about it? Like, what did you do to change it?
Well, we started listening to the podcast together, which was something that was cool.
You know, right? You started listening to this podcast together, so you said, "See, at least I'm not as bad as this asshole." Is that what?
No. We listened to her podcast together when we were driving around town and stuff like that, and it actually helped us open up a dialogue about that stuff.
That's great.
And I'm not saying that our sex life is like friggin' off the wall, swinging from the rafters, crazy, you know. But we're taking baby steps to make it better.
I want to talk about this because I've recently had this thought with my wife, where I want to ask her, and I plan to when I get home to say, "Hey, is there anything like? Because here I don't know how every married couple has sex, but I do think that I get a lot of judgment from my single friends." That are like, when I tell them I've only been with 4 other women, they're like, "Are you kidding me?" You know, that kind of thing. And my wife and I, we don't do crazy things. She doesn't put on outfits or anything along those lines. And not that I think that should even be qualified as crazy. I'm just saying, I think that we have what I jokingly call good Christian sex. And we both seem to enjoy it. Like, but although now I'm rethinking, because how honest can I trust her reactions when she's telling me that she's manipulating my arousal level? But my point is that I sometimes think about it and I go, well, what, you know, is there something that you would like to do that maybe you think is a little freaky? Like, and I think that's a big thing, to kind of open up a conversation to chat about it. And so
I agree with that, but that might turn into a dangerous 50 Shades of Grey situation for yourself.
Yeah, that's the other thing too. But I gotta be honest with you, Eric. I did think of that. Like, it would be kind of funny, like, if you have the conversation with your wife about, "Hey, what are you into?" And then she's like, "I like ball gags, and I just want to beat the crap out of you with a riding crop." Okay.
And she tells you your safety word is, "It puts the lotion on the skin." That's,
yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Who wants to deal with that?
Yeah. Sure. Opening line is, "Have you seen Silence of the Lambs?" What? "We're going to need a well. I want to dig a hole in a basement and just drop you in it and and starve you to death." I do me. but at the same time, because I am a dude, like, I kind of think, I'm like, that'd be kind of awesome. Like, what if she does have this crazy, you know, thing of, you know. But I think more often than not, the more common answer is something along the lines of, "Yeah, I'd like it to be less.
Well, one thing that Gina, I feel like I'm turning it into her podcast now. But one thing that
that's okay. I don't mind Gina, plugging her. She's great.
Yeah. One thing that Gina said was on her podcast is to approach your mate as she's the most outrageous, sexually wild, and don't let the outcome determine your mood. Mm. You know. So instead of, you know, like, "Here, you want to fool around," she says, "No," and then you turn into a little whiny little bitch.
Oh,
man,
yeah.
Rocking yourself to sleep.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense of, like, you know, because, and it's interesting because, like, I consider myself to be a pretty open guy, but I've definitely had that happen. I've definitely had that situation where I roll over and, you know, I have my signal is I, you know, it's kind of sad to say it out loud, but my signal is I touch her when we got up. Like, I'll rub her back. And I kind of recently realized that after she made this statement of, "Well, I don't want to wear less clothes because you're just going to want to have sex with me." So hurtful. Damn it, woman. I love you so much, but Jesus Christ, why do you have to hurt me so? But
she just did that out of sarcasm?
Well, there's probably a lot of truth to that, because I know my wife, but it is funny. I know my wife. I know she likes to have adult magic time, and I know that she, I like to assume that she finds me attractive. She is freaking smoking, this woman. Like, I just, my favorite thing is that, and it sucks now because the daylight savings time totally fucked up my life where.
Hey, amen, brother, preach it.
Yeah, I remember you and I were kind of chatting about this on Twitter, right? Wasn't that you and I?
Yeah.
So the daylight savings time, for those of you who don't follow me on Twitter, that I talked about, it was invented to help farmers, and now it seems to only exist to fuck up the lives of parents with small children, because you easily just shift and adjust the clock, and it kind of jerks you out of it that you don't, or at least in my situation, I didn't really realize, why is the kid all of a sudden waking up at 6 o'clock in the fucking morning? and you just don't, and why is he cranky? And it's because everything is kind of messed up, and you would think that an hour doesn't really change anything, but an hour to an adult doesn't change anything. But when you're awake at most 2.5 hours, an hour is like 10% of your awake time. and so it hoses everything up. And so now I have to get up with him at 6 a.m. and my wife doesn't get up until like 7:30, start getting up for work. And so I go get up with the baby to, you know, give him a, give her a little more sleep and time. But that was my favorite time, is when she'd get out of the shower and she's walking around and just her underwears. And, oh, my God, that woman is beautiful. And so I like to think that she thinks I'm attractive as well. But I believe that I think she likes me to be a little unattractive. I recently had a friend of mine from high school send a video of me, of both of us, in our high school drama class. And I looked at me, and damn it, Eric, I was skinny. And I don't know if I would say the word handsome. I was better looking than I am now, but as my friend put it, she goes, you were a beautiful boy, because I did. I looked like somebody's prison bitch when I was in high school. I looked like I moisturized and wore rouge. Like, I just had the biggest baby face in the world, and then getting married and having two children has turned me into, like 3 years short of looking like Jack Vallance. Like, I just feel weathered, like a cowboy of some kind. But I think my wife does not want me to be skinny and does not want me to be attractive, because anytime I try to say, you know what, this is it, I'm going to get back to my fighting weight, I'm going to get back to about 180, 185, and then that's when the cookies show up and the ice cream shows up, and that's my kryptonite, bro. I can't hang with that. I can't do that. And so
I'm a big cookie person. When my wife and I were first married, she would bake cookies for me all the time. Now that she's had kids and, you know, she's struggling with her body style now. She doesn't make them as much, so.
I like that the machinist uses the word style. Her body style.
Well,
like she's a Corsica. Like
her body. That's the only word I can think of right now.
No, it's, I'm not judging. I just thought it was a funny thing of who you were. Like, I didn't mean to say, like, ha-ha, you idiot. I meant to say, that's hilarious to me. I'm sorry.
Whatever, Justin. Screw you, man.
I guess the show's over. Well, we had fun. Stay frosty.
Now you're poking the bear.
Yeah, lean back now, asshole. I'm sorry, but I interrupted you. What were you going to say? You said she was getting used to her body style.
Yeah. So since she's trying to come to terms with that, you know, she doesn't bake for me anymore. So I hate hearing people, oh, my wife's giving me cookies. I'm like, F you, asshole. You know? Like, if I want snacks, I have to buy them on my way to work, you know? If I want cookies, I have to sneak them into the grocery basket, you know what I mean?
You really have to sneak them? You're like, you throw them in there? And does she?
No, not. Because
I kind of wish, it's funny how everybody always has the grass is greener. Like, you're looking at me going, oh, your wife gets you cookies and ice cream, you son of a bitch. And I'm looking at you, and I know I always ask for the weirdest things in the world, but it's like I'm listening to you saying, how great would it be if I had a wife who backed me up on this plan to lose weight? And she was like, no, you don't need those cookies. Get down to 185, and then you could have those cookies. And I've asked her multiple times, like, I need your help. I need you to tell me, stop eating 8 Oreos, you dumb son of a bitch.
Well, who does all the grocery shopping, you or your wife?
I do.
Ah, there it is. So the cookies show up as you're buying the cookies, dude. No. So you are subconsciously sabotaging yourself.
Kind of. Well, my wife also has a big sweet tooth, and as I've mentioned in my act, she's one of these bitches that she can eat whatever the hell she wants and it doesn't affect her figure. But I've really recently realized that she just has better self-control than I do. Like, when she realizes if she puts on a few lbs that she only has one cookie instead of 3 or something, and there is no one cookie to me. Like, my brain, it's a weird situation that is kind of sad at the same time, like, where it's like, I'll say, you know what, that's it, I'm losing weight today, this is the day I'm going to make it happen, and I'm a mover and a shaker, I'm going to do this. And then it's like, it's I liking it to whenever you watch Shark Week and the shark jumps out of the water to get the seal dummy and you see his eyes like glaze over to protect it from getting like anything in it. That's what my eyes do. They glaze over black and I just eat cookies and then I wake up in a sugar crash and go, what happened? Where was I? I'm not sure.
I'm like that with the bag of Reese's.
Oh, Reese's peanut butter cups or pieces?
The Reese's peanut butter cups, especially like Easter or the Christmas trees.
Yes, those
eggs.
I get
a bag of those and I'll just sit down to play like video games and I've dusted through the bag and under 5 minutes I'm like, where'd my Reese's go?
Yeah, I like that this podcast started off nerdy and then went like sex therapy and now it's fat camp.
Yes, and wrap it all around to being a Fortune 500 company.
Yeah, exactly. Get rich selling real estate and coming up at the top of the hour. That's hilarious. The other thing here that I had on my list that my kid, you have a 4-year-old too, so you can make, is your daughter in preschool?
No, they're not in preschool right now because it is not financially possible for us at the moment.
Yeah, and that's interesting that you bring that up too because I did it. I mean, we can swing it. It's obvious. I think preschool is not the smartest thing in the world financially for anyone. Like, it just doesn't. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand how anybody could just like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to blow an extra $1,000 a month. Why not? The only reason we did it was because I needed it. It would help me to take care of Jack during the day, the baby one. And I thought, I'm like, and it might not be a bad idea. I really did it because we opened the minivan door. I was going to the grocery store, and it was sunny and beautiful in Southern California. And my son reacted like a vampire and was like, oh, the sun. I don't like the sun. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I can't. That's not good parenting. I need some help. I got to bring in some big guns.
Well, I like how you said that now that when they're home, you give them an hour of yard time.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I can just picture you watching them up from a sniper perch, you know?
Yeah.
Waiting for them to step out of line.
Yeah, and then I trank dart them is what I do. Take them down. But anyway, so, ours costs about $725 a month, and I just kind of realized that I was like, oh, I only have one more year of this, and then Jacob is going to be in kindergarten, and then all of a sudden, but then it's going to be time for Jack to go into the preschool. And I was like, oh, man, then that's – so I'm stuck with this for at least a couple more years. But I think that what will be nice is having that 6 hours where I could be productive and do other things, you know, to make my – blah, blah, blah. Now I'm just shooting the shit. But here's my point. When they go to preschool, they come home – it starts off, they come home with diseases. And then the second wave is where they come home with crappy artwork that you still you know is shitty, but you still find it adorable. And my favorite thing is watch both my wife and I doing the sing-songy of, oh, look at that, that's so cool. And then you keep the same voice and you go, what is it?
I think every parent is guilty of that.
Yeah.
You bring some random piece of paper and like, oh, that's so cool, good job. Then they turn away and you just kind of place it somewhere out of sight.
Yeah. And I'm curious about the next step is that I put it on the fridge. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand how that became the American Smithsonian in the American family. Like, that's where you hang things up is on the fridge. Like, there are people, like, my wife has done something from when he was real, real little, and I really think it's cute that he made, like, a bunch of squiggly lines. Like, there was no picture to it or anything like that. And she asked him what each of the things were, like, pointed to different spots, and he just named different animals. So she did this real cool thing and, like, wrote giraffe and lion and tiger and then framed it and put it on the wall. And it's like, well, if you really think it's that awesome, that's what you should do. Now it just looks like my fridge is made of papier-mâché because it's just covered with every goddamn thing he comes home with from school. And the new thing is preschool is they use push pins over like a scrap of carpet, and then they have like an outline, and then they punch out this little design, and he just loves doing that. Like, he cranks them out like he's an 8-year-old Korean boy in a sweatshop. He's just pop 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 pop, and comes home with like 8 bats, 6 pumpkins, and a ghost, and he's like, look at what I made, you know. But I just felt like such a dick that everything ends up on the fridge. I feel like if you really did care about it, put it up on the walls. And not that this makes me an awesome dad or anything, but that did remind me, because I was kind of like shitting on myself. But I'm like, you know, we did something kind of cool, is that my wife wanted to decorate the house for Halloween. And we have an apartment. And I was like, why do we got to buy Halloween? Nobody's going to come over. And So I had this idea where I let my son decorate with his stuff. Like, he put his little bat, his bats and pumpkins, and we taped them all over the house. And so he essentially decorated the house, and I really liked it. And he found some magazines where he cut out pumpkins because he's learning to cut things out. And so he made little collages that he stuck to the back of our door and stuff. And so I thought that was a lot of fun, and I appreciated that far more than the $60 I would have dropped at Target for some bullshit ghost and a witch that scared me every time I walked by my kitchen or something, keeping me from my cookies.
Well, I think it's very important to stimulate creativity in children. You know, I'm a musician as well, and every time I pull out my guitar, I can't play a song completely through because my son and my daughter come up and they're trying to strum the guitar.
Yeah.
So creativity and artistics is something that I think is very important for our kids, because you don't know who's going to be the next Spielberg or the next Van Gogh.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
You got to pay for a retirement somehow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, my poor parents. When I was five, I told my mom I would buy her own rest home, because they used to joke about how they didn't want to be stuck in a rest home. And so I said, well, I'll buy you one because I'll be so rich. And now look at what I do.
My stay-at-home dad, comedian / apartment manager.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you're a jack of all trades, sir.
I am one of them not being building my mom her own rest home. Like, there's no way in hell. I told her, I go, if you want, Mom, you could come live with me, and I'll pretend to be an orderly. And you can. That's about the extent of what you're going to get at this point.
Don't do it.
I saw something else that was interesting on the road, and I thought, I didn't know how to react to it. I was driving on the freeway. I think this was actually in Southern California, and it was a billboard that literally said "Baby Mama Drama," and it was for a lawyer's office. Like, so there's like the.
You weren't driving through Fontana area, were you?
I think it kind of was, to be honest. I think it was in the Inland Empire somewhere in L.A. And I just started laughing, going, "Are you fucking kidding me?" Like, it's to that point where you have baby mama drama. I should have brought this up with the guys at Single and Strangled. I didn't even think of that, but. There's a billboard for it that a lawyer said, you know what, we're tapped out on motorcycle accidents. Those are off the board with helmet laws, and the seatbelt thing is killing us. You know what, we got to find the next big paycheck. It's baby mama drama. And it's just, it's easily marketed. It's its own little haiku. I saw it. And it sounds so racist to me. Like, that they could just put on a billboard and say, baby mama drama, call 1-800-LEO-SCHLETZ. He'll get you taken care of. Like,
it's like it's almost kind of, that seems like kind of how Hollywood's rehashing everything, because they're running out of ideas.
Yeah.
In movies.
So you mentioned that you're kind of nerdy, and you speaking of movies, are you excited about the new Bond movie? Are you kind of nerdy about Bond?
I'm honestly not a big Bond fan. You know, the last James Bond movie I think I saw was The World Is Not Enough, when Pierce Brosnan was still Bond.
Uh-huh.
But Bond is not my thing. The movie I'm actually excited for is The Hobbit.
Oh, yeah, that's uber nerd, yeah.
Yes.
Is that, what, December 7th? Is that when that comes out?
December 13th, the day after my birthday.
Oh, wow, it's like Peter Jackson made it for you.
Oh, yes, I feel so special and so pretty.
So does that mean you're... That's a situation where if it's the day after your birthday, you could go to a midnight showing on your birthday. Is that the plan? Or you work nights, huh?
Yeah, I get off at midnight. I hate working nights, but, you know, the last shop I was at, I was working 12 hours Monday through Thursday, 8 or 10 on Saturday, and 6, I'm sorry, 8 or 10 on Friday, then 6 hours on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I thought, you know, I hardly see my wife, I hardly see my kids, and my wife really, rarely hardly touches me working these hours, so I'm going to get a different job.
I feel you on that, brother. I feel you on that. So go ahead, I'm sorry.
It won't really afford me to go to a movie by myself, because if I want to sleep in the same bed for long, I have to take my wife with me.
You think she would get angry? She would be like, I want to go see The Hobbit too? Is she into that stuff too?
Not to go see The Hobbit. It's that she'd be stuck at home with the kids.
Oh.
She's a stay-at-home mom. And she's got three of them to deal with.
That's interesting, because that's kind of what I want to make my next album about, is my experiences being a quote-unquote stay-at-home mom. Like on my website, I used to have a lot of anger in my comedy, and I still kind of do, but I think it's translated a little different. On my website, the thing is, it says Justin Worsham, husband, father, jerk, and I want to change it to husband, father, housewife, because I've realized that that's what it's, and this is good. You and I could talk about this, because you can provide the true male perspective on this, is that Does she get frustrated when, like, say, there, I know that you work nights, so maybe it's a little bit different, but say there's a time that you're supposed to be home by or whatever, and then you don't make it home by that time? Does it irk her, or?
Well, usually when I leave the house, if I'm going to go hang out with my friends, it's usually after the kids have gone to bed.
Oh, and okay.
We got them on a schedule. Their bedtime is 7:30 on the dot.
And so that's your guy time. That's when you get to go out occasionally?
Very rarely. Last time I went out of the house was just before my brother passed. I went to go visit him. Uh-huh. And I was out later than I thought. It was when I was in between jobs, so it really didn't matter. I didn't have to be up for work the next morning or anything. Yeah. But that was the last time. And if I'm running late, I'll shoot her a little message. Hey, you know, this is what's going on. And she's usually, my wife's really chill about that, you know. She'll let me go have my guy time with my friends, but it's very far and few between. So right now I'm just more focusing on our bus time.
Yeah, the youth, and that's the thing. I'm always curious about that. Bill and I used to talk about that a lot because he was more like me. Do you crave that, getting out and having? For me, when it happens, I always have the reaction of, "Oh, this is nice. I forgot about what it's like to just be a dude and not be a dad or a husband." But I don't really, when I'm in it, I don't really crave that time. I don't need to, like, I'm not the guy who needs to get away from my family. But maybe it's an unfair statement because I travel for my job.
Well, I get my own time when I'm playing my Xbox, you know?
Yeah.
And speaking of which, my son is taking it over.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. That's funny. That I had a joke about that where I said, I don't think I'm ready to be a father. I don't think I'm ready to share my Xbox. Like,
my wife posted a picture on Facebook of my son holding my Xbox controller. He's playing, I downloaded the Cars game demo for it. And I have to learn to, when he's playing the game and I'm home, not to, to let him learn it himself instead of taking the controller away and doing it for him.
Yeah.
You know, well, he's driving and he's keep hitting the walls. I'm like, turn.
I've talked about it a little bit, but I'm right now in this great spot where my kid and I get to play video games together. I talked about it a little bit on my video game podcast, the Second Funniest Podcast, that that I got to play Assassin's Creed 3 with him. And he's, like, knifing up these dudes and cutting them up, and I taught him how to fight. And then there's this moment where I taught him how to do, like, the counterattacks, and he's, like, doing it perfectly. And he's 4 years old, and I was like, wow. Like, and I've been talking about it a lot lately, but it's a weird thing that I think that technology has made the new having a catch is, you know, being able to play Assassin's Creed or some kind of Call of Duty with your son. And I'm curious to see how that develops, like, culturally. I still crave, like, throwing the football around with my son, and once he gets a little older, I think I would love to do that, but it is a different bonding thing that I was not expecting when that happened. But for you, it's like, this is supposed to be my time. You don't like, I mean, I know you're probably like, get the hell out of here, you little shit, but, you know, but there's a little bit of like, now I don't have this either, or?
No. My main problem is I game online with my friends, and I have my headphones on all the time. They hear me yelling, Elisha, no, get out of the way, don't touch that. So I get made fun of a lot for that. It's really hard to play Mass Effect on Platinum setting when you got a four-year-old standing dead in front of your sights.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, and he's moving with it. You know, you really can't play games like that when they're awake.
Yeah, I've been playing Lego Batman with my son, and it's constantly a fight to get him to sit down. Like, I'm like, hey, just sit down, and then he starts fighting guys, and then he gets up and jumps up in front of the TV, and he's dancing in front of the TV, jumping up and down. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, I can't see, Jacob. You have to go sit down, and he's like, okay, yeah. And then I have a conversation with him. I say, hey, just sit here. You don't have to get up. You don't have to do anything. And then not 5 seconds, he's like, yeah, no, got it, sure. And then as soon as I unpause it, then 5 seconds later, he's jumping up and down in front of the TV, getting all into it.
Yeah. It's like he's, I don't know, do you have the Kinect at all?
I don't. I have PlayStation Move and Wii, but I don't have the Kinect.
I refuse to get that thing. I'm a fat guy myself, you know. I'm a big boy, you know. I mean, I played DDR when it came out because it was cool, but if I'm going to exercise, I'll do, like, P90X or Insanity if I feel motivated, which is never.
Yours is like mine. I do the P360X is what I do. I do a 5-minute workout once a month, and I found that I've had great results. It's that age-old thing. You get out of it what you put into it, and I'm pretty happy with what's going on.
You know, people say, I need to get in shape. I'm like, hey, round is a shape. I'm happy.
Yeah. I wonder too, like, you know how like Viagra changed like this culture and all that stuff. Like, I wonder if there was an element of exercise that it actually made your penis longer, if that would make every dude just like boom, everybody would look like Brad Pitt. You know, I wonder what element of, because it is kind of easy if you're a dude who's married that you're kind of like, you know, whether you like the idea of it or not, there's a reason why it's a joke of letting yourself go. I mean, I don't know. I know that literally after my honeymoon, like, I'm not kidding. I don't even know how this is physically possible, but I had pants that were at home and pants that came with me that I thought were exactly the same size. And the day I came home from my honeymoon, I got out of the shower and I pulled my pants up and I could not button them. Like, they wouldn't fit. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? I mean, we ate like pigs. We lived like gluttons in the Roman Empire when we were on our honeymoon. We did nothing but screw and eat. It was awesome. But I didn't think I put on that much weight, and I don't remember walking around in sweatpants the entire time. Like, I just don't understand if I stretched my khaki pants while I was gone, or if all of a sudden it had a 12-hour period where it was let go, and it was like, oh yeah, now it's time. Get all the fat out there. Get it out around the waistline, because now we can let it loose. But yeah, things changed, and I don't know. Something about what we were talking about made me think, I wonder if that really what it was. Like, say you could gain, but I don't know. No, this is a stupid topic. I'm going to move on.
Moving on.
Do you guys have a sitter at all, or do you have family nearby?
When we do get out, we drop them off at the grandparents' house because they do live close by.
Uh-huh.
But we don't have a sitter. I mean, we have people at our church that would offered to sit, and there's some people there that we don't trust, you know, just because they're kind of creepers,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But we have people that'll help us out when we gotta go somewhere.
What's it like with your parents or her parents being nearby? Like, do you have lots of situations where they come by and they have advice? And were you reluctant to hear their tips of parenting, or no?
When it comes to my in-laws, I love my in-laws very much. They help us out all the time.
You lucky son of a bitch.
Well, on the flip side, I tease my mom and my wife. I tell my family, your family's the Brady Bunch and my family's the Mansons, by comparison. You know, my family is, we're full of, we're very passionate. We love much, we hate much. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Not a lot of middle ground is what you're saying.
No, it's either zero or right at 11, yeah, you know
polarized.
What I mean? Yeah, but we leave the kids with my wife's family a lot, because my mom, she can't physically keep up with the kids. She has degenerative arthritis and stuff like that.
Oh.
But when we do take them to see my mom often. It's a lot more often now than it was before.
And so, you love your in-laws, and your mom-in-law would just give, if she said something, you know, you should just do formula or whatever. Like, was there ever any kind of interaction like that got weird?
No. The weird interaction was because when my oldest was first born, my wife had a hard time breastfeeding.
Oh.
And her grandmother gave her a hard time for that because she just couldn't produce the milk, so we had to put them on formula, and her grandma's old school, you know. I think she's in her 70s or 60s or 70s. I don't want to date her too old, you know. Mm-hmm. But she gave her a hard time, and my wife had a hard time with that. But my wife's developed the attitude of, you're not raising the kid, you know. And my mother-in-law, they let us learn on our own, you know. They haven't interjected anything or tried to impose anything that we learned that this works, so you should do it this way or anything like that. They haven't done that.
Well, I had the reason I brought it up is because I was curious to see if anybody had ever been through, had a similar situation where we have a sitter that works for us when I go out on the road, and she's amazing. She's great. We actually have three strings of them. Like, I treat my sitters like quarterbacks in an NFL uh-huh. franchise. And so one time my son, we were going to pick Natalie up, I think, at lunch or something. We were all going to go out to lunch, and I said, hey, we'll bring the sitter along and everything. And my youngest son, Jack, was just squawking and crying and couldn't get him to calm down. And I tried the usual tricks that I've done before. And, you know, and she just reaches over to my car stereo and puts it on the classical station. And he just calms down and he stops crying. And it was funny because it's a weird backhanded reassurance. Like, it's bittersweet, definitely, in that you're like, oh, it's so great that I have this sitter that's so in tune to my kids that she could just fix something in an instant. But then there's also this aspect of it, like, well, why the fuck does she know my kid better than I do? And then you kind of think about it a little bit more. It's like, well, because her job is to work with kids. And it's like, well, fuck, why is she a better parent than me? This is bullshit. Like, and well, then you tell yourself, well, it's because she's professional, asshole. Like, she gets paid to do this. And even
and
then.
Give them back.
So yeah, that's also true. But I think that's just what parents tell us. We tell ourselves to feel better about our inadequacies. I really think that's my case because I was just sitting in the car going, I can't believe that fucking worked. I'm angry about the simplicity of it. like you just did a fucking Merry Melodies cartoon bit. Like, that's what you did. It's like, la, 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 la. And then the baby stops crying.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. And then I started worried. I'm like, man, maybe I'm a sucky dad. And then, like, maybe they'd be better off if I just paid her to be a full-time nanny. Like, maybe.
You have an au pair in the house.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe King Arthur didn't have it so wrong. Like, maybe it's not as bad an idea as everybody kind of makes. Oh, well, I could never be away from my children. Well, maybe it's better for them if it's not you all the time. I don't know. But I just felt like that was a huge kick in the balls.
When my oldest was born, that music was a big soother for him. I love heavy metal, and when he was in utero, I listened to metal all the time, very loud in the car.
Yeah.
My wife was pregnant. So whenever he would start fussing, I had a certain song, End of Heartache by Killswitch Engage, which is a freaking sweet song.
Yeah.
He'd shut right up.
Really?
Yes.
That's so funny, because I did a lot of that where people tell you, I tried to make it a joke, but nobody ever laughed in the clubs where I would say, you know, people tell you you're supposed to play Mozart for your kid so he'll be smart, and I say, I play AC/DC so he'll be awesome. Because that's the truth. Like, I would turn it up and my wife would be like, why is it so loud? I go, there's more than one listening and he's got a lot to get through before it gets to him. And it's funny, I never really talked to my wife's stomach when she was pregnant, but I'm loud as hell when I talk. And so both kids, like, when I talk to them, they kind of stopped crying when they were born because they were used to hearing my voice because I'm just such a loud, obnoxious asshole. But they do love music, and it is interesting that my wife watches this stupid show, So You Think You Could Dance. And I
love that show.
You love So You Think You Could Dance?
Especially Cyrus, the dubstep dancer. That guy is phenomenal. I was pissed that he didn't win.
Yeah, now we're going to get a little chickish on the show. But yeah, that was really fucked in the game. That guy was the most impressive thing in the world. And while I get maybe that the other guy was a better quote-unquote dancer, like in the traditional sense of dance, that guy, Cyrus did everything, and he did it well, and now we did it. We've done a lot of podcasts today, you and I, Eric. Now we're doing the So You Think You Can Dance fan show. But I hate that show because, you know, everything is dramatic, and I just don't like stuff that's intended for 12-year-old girls because I think it's disrespectful to 12-year-old girls and their mentality, but that's my own stupid bullshit, and I get that. But anyway, there's this part where the guy said, you know what I love about this show? Hold on, I got to do a podcast with Eric Herrera. That's what that buzz was. Anyway, is that this guy said there's a reason why dance is ingrained in us, that even the littlest kid, when they hear music, will instantly start dancing, even though they don't know what really dancing is, like it's something that's ingrained with us. And that was one of the most profound things I've heard on that show, because we would be on a long car trip, and I like to listen to podcasts, and my wife likes to sleep to them. So then the kids will get cranky, and then, you know, we stumbled upon it with my older son, that he said, you know, hey, we need to throw some music on. Maybe try that. And then, of course, the minute I play music, it would be fine. And then they start to nod off, so I'd go back to my podcast that I like listening to. And then they would start crying again. And then the minute I turn music back on, they would go silent and stop crying. So I get that every kid, you know, loves music. But I don't know. There's something about just the simplicity of the classical music that I'm like, nobody really enjoys classical music now. And I'd forgotten about the calming effect that it can have. There's a reason why they play it in elevators. I think it's to lower the murder rate in elevators for people who fart.
As a machinist, when I set up my machines, I don't listen to crazy music. I put classical on because it is soothing, but it helps me focus in on what I'm
really
doing.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, I've heard they did a lot of studies about that. My my dad repairs anesthesia equipment, and so when I used to help him out when I was a kid, I'd spend a lot of time in operating rooms, and there was a trend where every operating room was being outfitted with some kind of music system, like an advanced Bose system even, and they would each doctor had their own little CD that they would play, and it was some kind of classical music that helped them kind of stay calm and focus on whatever it was that they were doing. It's interesting. Well, we did it. That flew by, man. That's already. Let's do some moments of the week. Does that sound fun to you, Eric?
That's totally cool.
All right, let's do it.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
So my moment of the week, I guess, is it's a combination for both of my sons. We did the trick-or-treating, and it was outstanding. My wife, my son, and I don't know if I've told this story on the show or not, but my son got to pick all of the costumes. And so he picked Batman, my older son. He picked Batman for himself, Robin for his little brother, which was fucking adorable. He picked Catwoman for his mom, which was Oedipal. And then he picked Captain America for me. And the part, for anybody who's kind of a nerd about comic books, you've already know that it's like, well, Captain America doesn't even belong in the Batman world. Like, Superman would have made more sense, or even, like, Green Lantern. Or I said, well, don't you want me to be Bane or something like that? And he's like, no, you should be Captain America. And I just thought it was funny because we're going to walk around the neighborhood and trick-or-treating, and now with comic book culture being such a part of our actual culture, I know that there are going to be dads looking at me going, look at that asshole dad who couldn't get on board, and he's insisting on being Captain America even though his kid is into Batman. Like, the whole family's in the Batman world, but fucking Marvel lover over there is, I got to be Captain America. And in actuality,
almost said, no, F that. I'm Captain America. I'm the Avenger. Damn it.
Yeah, I'm the first Avenger, asshole. No, I'm not going to be Bane. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not going to talk like some vaudeville entertainer. But
some really bad impersonation of Sean Connery.
Yeah. Now I'm going to get off topic. But I did, honestly, I enjoyed that. I really did enjoy his voice. Did you hate it?
I've only seen bits and pieces of it. When he came on, I'm like, Sean Connery, I have to see the full movie yet.
Yeah, it's good. I really thought it was, because it's one of those weird choices that I don't know, maybe I'm just simple-minded and a Jedi mind trick would work on me, but I just love how easy it was for me to fall into it, and I just like that it was an interesting, unique choice. But anyway, so we go trick-or-treating, and I get over it, and I'm laughing about it, and we're walking around, and people were laughing at us because we were one of the few families that everybody was all dressed up. But the highlight, though, was getting Jacob to watching Jacob understand now how trick-or-treating works, and getting that weird kind of cool moment where he walks up to the door by himself, and you get to stand at the sidewalk, and he goes, trick-or-treat, you know, and then he learned to say thank you. I was just uber proud of him, and it was just freaking adorable getting to hear him say stuff. I got a lot of candy in here, like, it's almost full, and he even said this thing where he's like, I worked really hard for this candy, like, which I loved. And but the better part was even Jack, who's only 16, almost 17 months old, and watching him walk up to doors, and the very first house that he walked up, my wife had to kind of guide him up there and, like, go, okay, and then she held his bucket up, you know, and when he saw that lady put a fun-size Milky Way in his little Halloween, we gave him just the Happy Meal bucket that they were giving away at McDonald's because we thought it would be easy for him to carry. That first time that Milky Way hit that bucket, the look on his face, Eric, was so adorable because he just lit up. Like, he was like, the biggest smile, like, he literally, his face was like, holy shit, did you see what just happened? And he just smiled. Thank you. thank you, dear sweet lady. Thank you so much for giving me candy. Like, he just, and he turned around, like, he instantly got the concept of Halloween in that moment. And was like, oh, we're going to do this. And we're getting, like, he started walking, and then he would go up, and then you got to see him become almost kind of jaded to the process of Halloween in the given night, where you just walk up, yep, yeah, drop the candy in the bucket. All right, next house. Let's do this. It's a numbers game, people. Come on, like, let's pick up the pace. And then I just, like, I thought, I kind of felt bad because I thought it looked like, oh, you're sending the 16-month-old to the door so dad can get some candy for Halloween. And it, in actuality, it was much worse, is that, no, the kid is going to eat all of this candy. I'm barely going to touch any of it. Like, I gave
so
my
you six. Didn't tax them whatsoever on their candy?
Maybe. I there was some things in there that, like, a Whopper situation I don't think Jack could handle with his limited teeth. But did I give him some licorice? Hell yes, I did. Should I have? I don't know. Maybe not. Did he eat through a few of the Milky Way was very popular in the neighborhood this year. And he would just start biting. He didn't understand the concept of unwrapping it. So he would just start biting it. And we had never seen him do that. So we just thought, oh, well, you know, it's funny how you make your kid smarter than is fair. And so he's like sitting there. And then the next thing, you know, he's eating the wrapper and the candy. Like, it's just all going in. And you're like, wait, no, no, no. And we had to pull apart. So there was a lot of, you know, Milky Way tragedies and a Kit Kat that fallen as well. But now he's eaten almost all of his candy. And It was just really cool and fun, and I'm glad that that's one of those moments that sometimes I think I fall into, like, why are we doing this? He's 16 months old. Nobody's going to care. Like, it's kind of fucked up, and my wife made me do it, and she was smart for having me because it was a really cool moment that I think I will never forget. So now it's your turn, Eric. Sorry for my loquaciousness.
No problem. For my oldest, Elijah, like you said, you want to choke the shit out of them, but they give you those moments, Every day before I leave for work, I give my wife a hug and a kiss. I give all the kids a hug and a kiss. And if I have acid with him, I'll get out the door and he'll be like, no, Daddy, I want a big hug. And aww, he did that to me yesterday. I'm just like, you're so lucky. You're so cute, dude. Because I was late for work yesterday because I always wait till the last minute to get ready. I'm big on procrastination, you know. It was Friday. And like, I don't want to go to work.
Yeah.
But, for him, it's just... I just love that kid so much. It's hard to explain to him because he's full boy. You know, he's nonstop talking, nonstop running, nonstop everything. But to have him slow down and say, "I want Daddy to give me a hug," it's just like, you're like, oh
yeah.
And with my daughter Ella, every day she has this smile. I know I'm going to be in trouble when she's a teenager. She's got this smile. And you can see that glint in her eye, like, oh, it's on, Daddy. You know, but I love her smile because you can tell it's going to be interesting.
Like, is it a smile of, like, mischievousness, or is it a smile of, we're about to play some mind games, like, let's do this, or...
Like, she's up to the devil's work.
Yeah.
You know? and she's the sweetest thing. Every morning she comes in the room, jumps on me, that's how I get woke up, and she'll give me kisses and stuff like that, which I love the most, but... Like, it's a bittersweet thing to just, like, she jumps on my nuts, and you're like, oh!
Yeah.
You're like, okay, that makes it, that takes away the pain, just like an eighth of the pain. Thank you.
Yeah, they have a weird target for your groin area. I don't understand why
The running hugs, you know, they're at the prime height to take you out.
Even my sons, like, I feel like they should understand. Like, my son, even when I try to teach him how to pee standing up, like, he wouldn't let me touch him there, which I was like, okay, but... So he's uber sensitive about his penis, but he, like, could kick me in the nards, no problem. Doesn't even know it's happening. Like, I'm like, this is bullshit.
I don't think that they can truly grasp the pain until they actually get kicked in the nuts themselves.
That's a good point. I'm going to go home and kick my son in the nuts. I think that's a good point. You've helped a lot of families here today, Eric.
and for my youngest, just seeing his personality come through, you know, it's just, he's by far our most mellow kid, except when he wants a bottle. He goes from, like, from crying to screaming in 2.5 milliseconds. It's, like, it's hard to describe it. I mean, it'll wake the dead, you know. It has woken me up numerous nights because he goes, and you're just like, oh, my God, who let the Tasmanian devil in the house?
Yeah, there's no warm-up. It just, boom, it goes. Yeah.
It's pegged at 11, you know. And he hisses, because he's getting his teeth and stuff, he's learned how to make the S sound, so he hisses at me all the time. It's freaking adorable. But it's not a normal hiss. It's like he hisses in your face and you need to take a shower after.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, being peppered with baby spit, that's beautiful, you know? And disgusting at the same time.
That's awesome. Well, that was our show. You can give us a call, 408-228-4911, or send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. You can follow the show on Twitter, @dadpodcast. You can follow me on Twitter, @JustinWorsham, if you want to chat. I think I've mentioned this before, but I've really found a recent love with Twitter. I like chatting with people and try to throw out some stuff that I think is funny. But if you want to talk to me, I am more than willing to chat with you via Twitter if that's something that sounds like it's fun to you. Don't forget my newest album, Justin Worsham, I Love My Kids, I Swear, is available through my website or on iTunes if you prefer there, like if you have a gift card. I didn't understand, like I made it cheaper on my website, but people still prefer to buy it through iTunes. I guess it's easier, but so you know, if you buy it for the $8 on my website, it downloads and you could just import it into your iTunes. It has the artwork, has everything in there. But all my albums are available there. Some dates, some cities coming up. All my dates are available at justincomedy.com. I'm going to be coming. The big one is Sacramento. I'm going to be in Old Sac at the club Laughs Unlimited, headlining there November 29th through December 2nd. And then I'm going to be in the Hartford Funny Bone with Heath Heitch December 6th through December 9th. That's the one that, man, this December month is going to suck ass. I leave on December 5th, and I don't come home until like 5 o'clock on Christmas Eve, and then I leave again the day after Christmas. So let's see, what are my dates? I'm going to be in Raleigh. I can't wait to meet some Naptime Radio people and the ladies. I'm hoping I get to hang out with Heather. At Good Nights Comedy Club, December 12th through 16th. I'm going to be at the Stardome in Birmingham, Alabama, December 18th through December 23rd. And then in Wits End, New Year's Eve in Denver, December 26th. Through the 31st, and I think that is it. But again, all my dates are available at justincomedy.com. Is there anything you want to throw out your Twitter handle, Eric, in case people want to chat with you or whatever?
It's at PipeDreamer86.
I like that title.
I'm always down for that, you know? I'm always looking for Xbox Live friends, too, you know?
Oh, do you want to throw your gamer tag out?
It's EvilBetty86.
Evil Betty?
Yes, if anybody's seen Kung Pao Enter the Fist, they will get the reference.
All right. Is Pipe Dreamer 86, is that like the year you were born, or is it that you're 86ing your pipe dreams?
Exactly. Exactly, that's what it is.
Okay.
Finally, somebody gets it that it's not a weed reference, which is awesome.
Yeah.
Somebody who knows their vocabulary.
Oh, that's good. I didn't even think about that. I thought it made me laugh because I was like, oh, Pipe Dreamer. And then I said 86, and I remember working in restaurants, and I was like, oh, maybe that's what it is. That's funny. So at Pipe Dreamer 86, and Evil Betty is his Xbox gamer tag. If you want to play, I don't play Xbox a lot, but if you want to add me as a friend, I'm on Justin Comedy there, or you can add me on the PSN network at Justin Comedy. And I play a lot of Vita when I'm on the road. I got the little big planet because I'm a man, damn it. Or if you want to play a game of Madden, I could play that.
Doesn't that game come with a purse?
How dare you, you son of a bitch. It's a sack boy.
It's a satchel. Indiana Jones has one.
An attaché. Oh, man. Thank you so much, Eric, for doing the show. That was a lot of fun. So on behalf of my new friend, Eric Herrera, this is Justin Worsham saying, stay frosty, my friends.